This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. We have the famous Alec Medford. And in for Corey Majors, the next 3 days, it is the Woolly Bully himself, Zach Wolchuk. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing today?
It's an honor and a privilege to be here, especially with the one and only Little Red Medford. I'm just here to burn it all down to the ground, man.
I was really hoping that's how this first segment was going to play out and we could convince Bobby or our bosses to not have Bobby in the meeting and then he would sit here and you guys would just have a quarterback top 10 throwdown, but it's important that he was in that meeting.
He gets very, very angry though, and I love Bobby, but the next thing you know, it's like personal and now we're not going to talk for a few weeks. I don't know if him and Will, I guess him and Will Chambers were drinking buddies this weekend, so they've kissed and made up, but that whole feud over Shador Sanders going number one overall, I didn't think that was going to end.
Do you think that it was because of racism, like some people have said?
I can't put it past it.
Oh my God, that was That was not what I expected.
Is that toxic? It's not even a Tuesday yet.
Probably.
Settle down just a little bit.
Probably should have known. From the 817, I would have loved to read this text to Bobby and just not give any of the context. And he's talking about the playoffs clearly, but Dak can't be top 10. He's never even won a damn division game. Just to hear Bobby tell me what his NFC East record is, what his record is against Philly, Washington, yeah, the Giants, that would have been amazing. But alas, that's not what we're here to talk about right now.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Alec. We're here. We'll talk about the Dallas Card Show a little bit later and how you and somebody else who works here got one of the greatest pulls I've ever seen.
Heck yes.
But in the meantime, what the hell are we going to do about the Texas Rangers? Because over the weekend, I guess some of it came out Friday afternoon, Friday evening. Not the best news that we ever could have gotten. So John Gray took a rocket comebacker off the wrist. He's going to be out at least 6 weeks. And keep in mind, we said at least 6 weeks. And then there's the saga of Cody Bradford. And I'm starting to think that perhaps the Texas Rangers aren't totally telling us the truth about what's happening. And I hate saying that, but let's face it. There is precedence with the Jacob deGrom thing not that long ago. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's just needs more scans and stuff. Don't worry about it. He's good. Oh, yeah, he needs Tommy John. Sorry. That's what happened. Like, I get it that it's probably for any sports team. It's probably not in their best interest for Chris Young to pop on right now and be like, you know what? You're right. There's a good chance he's going to get Tommy John. He is screwed. We are screwed. I get it. You're still searching it out. But with Jacob deGrom, we definitely got slow played with the, I think he'll be okay. Nope, Tommy John. And so when Cody Bradford got a clean scan, he's going to be shut down for another 2 weeks. Won't be ready for opening day. And we hear over the weekend, he's going to be shut down from throwing another 3 weeks, but he's fine. and it's a clean scan. That's what you need to know. Something is clearly going on, and it sucks, and we all wanted Cody Bradford to succeed, and hopefully he still will this season, but those two things don't sound encouraging.
No, and I think you could have argued Cody Bradford was probably your best pitcher prior to him getting hurt last year. And getting to chat with him in the clubhouse, man, he was ready. He was ready to get back and pick up where he left off. And we talked about this in the clubhouse, in the bullpen there, when we were prepping for the show. And I heard you and Corey talking about this last week, but it's an excellent point. You don't have another lefty starting pitcher. Like, what are you going to do? You go up against a lineup that just absolutely crushes righties, and you don't have a lefty to throw against them. Jordan Montgomery? Can you buy cheap on Monty? Can you bring him back? It seems like Mike Maddux has been the magic elixir for one Jordan Montgomery to get him to be an all-star World Series type of pitcher. They need to add some lefty help. And I'm about done with, okay, we're gonna give Leiter and Rocker some cushion and more time to develop here. All right.
Slip up.
I'm done with it. I'm over it. I understand, and I've talked to Jared about this a bunch. Everybody develops differently when it comes to Major League Baseball. Rocker's barely pitched a bunch of minor league innings with all of the injuries that he's had. We're talking about two guys that were the top pitcher taken in their drafts. Heck, Rocker was a top 10 pick twice. The time is now. I need you guys to step up. And the fact that Chris Young can't really come out with a bunch of confidence, he's like, hey, I got a lot of confidence in these guys, but neither of them are really guaranteed to make the big league team right now. To me, I don't want to hear this anymore. This is exactly why we were talking about the depth for the starting pitching. It should be okay if you don't have Cody Bradford for a month or two. It should be all right if you don't have John Gray, because you got Leiter and you got Rocker as reinforcements. Yep. And Rocker didn't look bad when he pitched at the end of last year. So I get the spring's been a little up and down for both of them. It's time, boys. There's no more time being given, in my opinion.
I take you to 5 months ago. By the way, just real quick, I want to read this text and clear this up. I was only kidding. From the 254, disappointed to hear Kevin and Corey aren't friends off air. That is not true at all. We get along very well. I was just kidding because he said best friends. I was just kidding about that. Corey and I get along very, very well.
Sure.
However, I take you back to our buddy Gambo in Phoenix.
Gambo?
Always breaking news. 5 months ago. They had Ken Kendrick on, which has to be a fake name.
Ken Kendrick?
Yeah.
Are you getting ball sacked?
That was the owner of, or still is, of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Do you remember this quote? Quote, looking back in hindsight, it was a horrible decision to have invested that money in a guy that performed as poorly as he did. Talking about Jordan Montgomery. It was our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint, and I am the perpetrator of that. He goes on.
Big mistake.
If anyone wants to be blame anyone for Jordan Montgomery being a Diamondback, you're talking to the guy that should be blamed. He is still on that team. How is he still on that team? When you talk about him being able to be picked up for cheap, I would just walk by and just like play that audio.
Please.
When I walk by Jordan Montgomery and just see if he caught it again. He's like, and see if we can get him back.
Jeez,
Alec, cheap.
He's getting dangerously close to saying another swear
That's right.
word.
My computer's gone, and I had to use a stupid Apple computer this weekend, and I hated every minute of it, so I'm going to be salty today.
I mean, we've got brilliant lip readers that are watching on Twitch and YouTube. They saw you swear. Maybe the FCC didn't pick it up. I saw what you mouthed. It's vulgar.
It will have to be pixelated in the replay.
Carter, fix this.
It's only Monday, man. Come
okay.
on.
Okay. Look, I'll try to keep it in check. We'll see. The sooner I get my computer back and don't have to work on Apple, the better. But you would think, yeah, that's right. I really hate Apple products. So you would think that that would clear the way, because otherwise, to your point, you're thinking it might roll out Eovaldi, Leiter, Malley, Rocker, or Dunning, and DeGrom. Mm. And I'm not saying I'm panicked about the talent level, but the plethora of right-handed pitchers is a little bit concerning to me.
It is. You've got a log jam there with righties, and I think that Chris Young understands the balance that you need to have there. And I wonder, I mean, could there be another trade on the horizon? Do they maybe just feel like they've got something, you know, with some other arms that we're not even discussing right now? I mean, I know like Teodo was a guy that Jared had mentioned as a closer.
Yeah.
The Rangers still have not ruled out him as a starting pitcher.
True.
Like, is Teodo a guy that they end up giving some options to? Because I think that this is something that's going to, hopefully we get Bradford and Gray back in a timely fashion.
Yes.
But this isn't going to be the last time we're talking about a pitcher being on the IL or having some type of soreness needing to be shut down. Like, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Tyler, maybe all of these guys at some point are going to be on the 10-day IL. We've seen Nathan Eovaldi every year he's been with the Rangers. He's got some type of arm fatigue. You see the velocity start to fade at some stretch in the season. He's going to go on a 10-day IL stint. Please, God, DeGrom doesn't have to. But, heck, Bruce Bochy last week with Foul Territory was talking about, hey, if we need to put him on the IL and shut him down, we'll do that.
Kind of wish he wouldn't have said that out loud, but yes,
right.
That is true.
And Mally's already had a scratch start with forearm soreness. So you need to be planning for what is your depth looking like. And I think a month ago we were feeling great about it, but based on the performance from Leiter and Rocker now in spring training and really their hesitancy to just go full on and commit to them, I'm a little bit nervous.
From the 817, the 732, the 214, and another 214. Don't blame the messenger. I'm just telling you, the Rangers are not going to pick up Trevor Bauer.
That's not what I heard.
Shut up. They heard from where? You did not hear anything to the contrary.
Ken Kendrick told me they might be interested in Trevor Bauer.
He's a person that is really real, but he's not with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Okay. Look, I will admit, I will be stunned if the Texas Rangers picked up Trevor Bauer. I know his name comes up all the time. I know the next question is, well, he's not going to be here. But why? I'm just telling you, the Texas...
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Texas Rangers, as far as everybody I've talked to, have no interest in bringing in Trevor Bauer, no matter if he wants to do a minimum deal with incentives, zero interest from what I understand.
I wonder if Joey Gallo will throw lefty.
Now, that is the next question. What? I know it's been spiraling for a while, but what happened to him?
Yeah, it's a good question.
When he turned down the 4 for $80?
Probably.
That just started it.
It's like full on Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
And now you regret it and it's never the same for you. Because you all, I mean, gosh, the return that the Rangers got, that was a brilliant. Was that John Daniels? I think that might have been one of JD's last moves. To be able to get Josh Smith, who we know what he did last year. Incredible. Ezekiel Duran. Hell, Glenn Otto didn't really work out in that thing. But this is the gift that keeps on giving, this brilliant Joey Gallo trade.
It really is.
And you're right, 360. I'd still love for Leiter to maybe become ambidextrous and switch to lefty pitching. Maybe he'd be more consistent.
So that's one of the things that Mike said people would joke with, or he would joke with some of his kids. Are you sure you're throwing with the right hand? Which I don't necessarily know about that. Now, somebody we do have fairly high confidence in, although I know there are concerns that pretty much come with all of the Rangers pitchers. Nathan Eovaldi, second consecutive opening day start. I know for a lot of people that is a big honor. I'm excited for him. Are you excited for him?
I'm pumped. And this was, as you mentioned, like not a very good kept secret at all. I think we all knew this would be the case.
Especially once it was announced that DeGrom would start at the back of the rotation.
So it's like, I think we know who's going to end up starting here, and it will be Nathan Eovaldi. But did you see Kennedy Landry and other Rangers beat writers had this nugget. But the last pitcher to make multiple opening day starts in a row for the Rangers.
Kevin Millwood.
Insane. We got to go back to 2006 to 2009 for that to happen. So Nathan Eovaldi, what he's doing, we have not seen in a Texas Ranger pitcher for a while.
So what's the big deal? It's only been 16 years since we've had the same back-to-back starter.
What's the big deal? You think it means our pitching has been very good?
Yes. Yes, I think that is exactly what it means. But just have the same opening day starter 2 years in a row. I'm not even saying it has to be like Millwood's 4 years in a row. I can see how you'd be like, oh, there's
injuries. It's surprising,
injuries,
though. Or... like a Yu Darvish didn't ever go back-to-back years.
Got hurt.
Yeah.
That's,
Lefty got us.
Yeah. That's so we need to bring back Jordan Montgomery.
That's what it
all comes back to.
All back to Monty, baby.
Him or trade for Yu Darvish. That's what I just heard of the
Trevor Bauer, I guess.
No, we're not going to pick up Trevor Bauer. It's just not going to happen. They think he is toxic in the clubhouse, and everybody just about he's ever played with thinks he sucks as a human being.
He likes to do weird stuff in the bedroom?
No, not. I'm not just putting all that aside. I'm not even going to get into that.
I think you judged him.
This has nothing to do with that. It's that everybody in the locker room thinks he's a jackass and that he is toxic to the room. I am not factoring in this. I'm not going to say anything about like, well, he got proven innocent. I'm not even talking about that. Just baseball. That's why they don't want him. And if it happens and you tell me there's breaking news, well, then I'll be like, well, I have been wildly.
Ken Kendrick reporting.
That is not. That's the owner of the Diamondbacks. That's not. No. All right. So if I told you right now, no trades, no moves, it's going to go Eovaldi, Leiter, Mally, Rocker, DeGrom. How likely do you think that is?
I think it's likely. And I think that we're basically just going to have to, and I say we like I'm on the team here. Let's go Rangers. Go get them, baby. Just going to have to hit our way to victory.
I can see.
It's going to just need to go back to being the best offense in the American League, maybe the best offense in baseball, which they have the potential to be.
Yep.
And if you're scoring 10 runs a game, I think you'll be able to weather the storm.
Okay. Man, hot take out of the gate from Wolchuk. If you score 10 runs a game,
it's going to be okay.
I think we're going to be okay.
Let's go. Double digits, baby.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. God, it's going to be a long 3 days. Coming up next, our initial reactions, overreactions, and predictions for the March Madness bracket. Do you already have a Final Four? Let's hear it. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Richard will hold. Shot clock start. Chop this one up for the Gators. Chop up an SEC tournament championship for Florida. 86-77 is the final score. Florida wins the SEC tournament for the first time since 2014.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. We got Zach Wolchuk with us for the next 3 days. Unless today doesn't go well. Our initial reactions, overreactions, and predictions for the March
such a poor start.
Madness bracket. But also, got a couple of other things for you. Go ahead and send in. Do you already have radical Final Four picks? Great. Are you going to be like CBS and pick nothing but 1 and 2 seeds to make the Elite Eight and only pick the 1 seeds to make the Final Four? Well, that's a decision as well. Somebody asked about Dane Dunning, and I don't think we talked about Dane Dunning enough in the last segment. I think Dane Dunning is there ready to go, but I think Dane Dunning was there. Let's get into the season and see when we have to use him, because obviously you're going to need at least, it feels like 8 to 10 pitchers or whatever the case might be. And so I don't think they were ready to use him as a starter straight away. We talked with Dane Dunning a lot at spring training. He's got in phenomenal shape. He has one of the best pitching minds I've ever talked
to. Super smart dude.
And so I think he will be available. My guess wouldn't be at the very start of the season.
I think you're right. I think that they like him as, you know, a long reliever, especially if you've got a Mally or DeGrom, and I'm just using them as examples, but guys that even if it's a Leiter, like could he be in a tandem?
Yeah.
So if you do have to have Leiter start in place or a Rocker, you know, Leiter yesterday, I think had 80 pitches through 4 innings. That's been an issue for him, right? He gets ahead of the count. The next thing you know, a guy's drawn a walk. I think he walked the 9th batter yesterday twice. So if you've got Leiter who's not, you know, maximizing his pitches where he needs to be, and now he can only go 3 or 4 innings, now you've got Dane Dunning who can go ahead and alleviate that so you're not just taxing the bullpen.
And then in other news that might shock some people this morning, if you haven't already heard, the Bengals are going to pay all of the people all of the money. They gave Ja'Marr Chase a 4-year, $161 million deal that includes $112 million guaranteed. And then they gave T. Higgins 4 years, $115 million that per Fox Sports is guaranteed for the first 2 years. We're going to get into wide receiver tandems later, but are y'all surprised that the Bengals followed Joe Burrow's advice and said, the hell with it, let's just give you all of the money?
I am a little bit, yeah. And I'm happy that they did. I mean, go ahead and end up, you know, making your quarterback happy. But I did think if this was an either or, if it's you keep Trey Hendrickson or you keep a T. Higgins, you need to go ahead and help that defensive side of the football.
Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson led the league in sacks. He's probably been one of the more underrated defensive ends throughout his career. Your defense was an Achilles heel last year.
Oh, my God. It's
like
the
you're
worst.
Paying, and I do believe in Joe Burrow. I think he's a top three quarterback. You pay Ja'Marr Chase. You give him his number one target. But with all due respect to T. Higgins, go ahead and trade him then if that's the case. I mean, building from the outside in, especially when you've got an offensive line that I think you're putting the 28th most amount of financial resources in, it's a little weird what they're doing. But if they can keep all three, good on you.
Now we move to college basketball. Do you guys already have ridiculously early Final Four picks? I'm curious if people get the bracket on Sunday night, make their picks, and they're like, I'm not looking back. I'm going to outthink myself, and I'm going to end up making changes that I didn't want to change to begin with. And were you guys in on college basketball over the weekend? Obviously, I cared about college basketball a lot, especially since I broke on Thursday and fell apart as a human being. But I was able to get it back together and watch Duke win the ACC tournament.
There was a lot to unpack there. I was still trying to recover from the whole incident that we had to replay about six times on Friday over the PA speakers at the Dallas Card Show. That was awesome. But yeah.
And then the idea of having people win stuff at the Dallas Card Show by coming up in a commercial break and saying, repeat what Kevin said. And somebody walked up while we were talking, goes, are you guys in commercial? And we're like, like you can see us talking right now, right? We're not.
That is amazing.
So,
and it was cool to be at the Dallas Card Show yesterday because that was kind of the talk of the town. Everybody was after some of those premier college players,
yes,
trying to collect their stuff, and people were just, you know, kind of just conversing about all the different madness and people already getting hyped about it. So it was kind of hard to avoid it if I was trying to at all this weekend. It was just everywhere all at once. But I think I'm going to sit down and make the official bracket tonight. I think that's what we're going to do. And I know we always do our company bracket too, that I always end up getting totally destroyed within probably 2 days. Oh. So yeah, I've never been good at these things, but I still do it because it's really fun.
Tomorrow I will have helpful hints for people picking their brackets, trends that maybe they didn't know about to help them get through. Wait.
I need that help.
Okay, because a lot of people, when it comes to college basketball, learned that it exists yesterday for the year. Is that fair to say? Look, I love college basketball, but I can accept that most people don't care.
Yes, I am one of those people that I'm definitely not paying attention while football's going on. It's kind of as soon as the Super Bowl's over. Now I'm going to pivot to college basketball.
Okay. All right. So the SEC, most teams ever in the tournament with 14.
Unbelievable.
Previous record, 11. So they smashed that record. The ACC on the flip side, they got four teams. Their least selections in since 2013. And they even got an extra bonus team that shouldn't have been in the tournament in North Carolina. We can talk about that in just a second. I mean, it was amazing that both North Carolina and Texas made it in. I thought Texas A&M helped clear the way for Texas by being like, hey, you can beat us again. And so I think that got them in. I was surprised that North Carolina made it from the 3-2-1. Duke getting bounced before the Sweet 16 is my major upset on my bracket. If you think what I did before was bad, if that game is happening while our show is on, you will hear me completely melt down.
You won't be paying any attention?
I'll try to pay attention to the show. I really will. We'll see how it goes. All right. Do you guys have, I know, Alec, you said you're going to work on it tonight. Do you have early preposterous Final Four picks for me, Woolchuck?
I think that the most preposterous.
Close enough.
Did I nail it?
Nope.
Well, how? Say it for me one more time.
Preposterous.
Preposterous.
You're saying preposterous.
What, I'm saying
preposterous.
There's an R in there.
Yes.
Preposterous.
Hey.
Yeah.
It took a village, but we got
Woo!
There.
We're learning and we're growing together.
I'm thinking pretty chalky on this one. Not going to lie to you, my friend. I'm going Texas Tech as the 3 seed to make it.
Ooh, I like that over Florida.
Yeah. I've got Texas Tech in there. I do have Houston. I do have your Duke Blue Devils in the Final Four. And then I think we're rocking
the South.
The tough one to me is like Iowa State. I could see as another 3 seed making a run, but then you've got Michigan State and Auburn.
I will just warn you about Iowa State is they have lost Keshawn Gilbert for the tournament. So he's phenomenal. So I don't know how much that's going to kind of torpedo their run to the final four.
I think it's been torpedoed, but I kind of went very chalky on this. I did go Houston, Duke, Auburn, Texas Tech.
Okay.
And I might pivot and take Michigan State over Auburn.
Yeah, here's the thing, and this is another thing maybe that should come up in your lists of do's and don'ts. I hold the past the way I shouldn't when I make picks because I know everyone's like, oh, Michigan State always gets it done. One year I picked them to win it all and they lost in the first round. And for some reason I've been hesitant to pick them again ever since then. Yeah. Even though, like, get over it and move on.
No.
And yet here
I think that stuff kind of lingers with you. Purdue was one of those teams for me.
Was that the year they lost to the 16 seed?
And then what happened was they totally bounced back. Virginia. And that's why, like, I'm kind of liking Auburn, because Auburn was a team last year going into the tournament. I thought, okay, the KenPom stuff, like, they're kind of fitting everything that you need in a champion.
Yeah.
And they have an early exit. But we've seen from Virginia, we've seen from Purdue. There's probably some other teams that I'm missing here that end up having an early exit, and they rectify that.
Yeah.
They use that as motivation. And I think Bruce Pearl and Auburn will end up making a deep run, at least to the Elite Eight this year. But that is going to be a tough matchup if they do have to play the Spartans.
From the 2-on-4, North Carolina is 1-12 against quad one teams this year. Now, this is a serious question, not just for this person, but for everybody. Before it got talked about in the selection shows, did you care or know what a quad one team was?
Well, I know that the Eagles probably have the best quad backfield now.
Oh, that's a different thing.
You know, when it comes, like, how do they get the name the Quads?
That is a cool name.
Like, where's this the quad stuff?
Because it's a breakdown of four.
Okay. But we have two quads, not four quads. You get this? Like, I don't really understand. Maybe I'm just leaning into the show and trying to fill the cast of characters that I'm in for.
Please don't.
But that is one that I've never really understood why we call this, like, we're getting a quad victory.
Mm-hmm.
Even
though I just...
So is it top fours?
Yeah. It's a breakdown of the entirety of college basketball in chunks of...
And that has to do with mathematics.
Yes, it does.
And that's where I fail.
Oh, okay. Well...
But together... You're strong in that,
huh.
So you are filling my weakness,
mm-hmm.
And now we can take over the world.
From the 469, Kevin, send me your bracket. I will pay you one whole American dollar. So I don't even have to win or anything? I just need to send you my
one
bracket?
One whole dollar.
Hell yeah! Man, I'll be all about that. If people are like, I will give you a dollar for your bracket, I'll be like, fantastic. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. If you want me to customize a bracket just for you, like, you know what? I'm going to be like the Chat GPT of brackets.
Yeah.
So I want you to be like, hey, write me out a bracket where Liberty makes it to the Elite Eight. And I'll be like, okay, got it. And I will put together a bracket just for you, and it won't prevent me from advancing Liberty any further. But we can make that happen. My services would absolutely be up for sale for that. From the 214, Louisville, no doubt, is going to go to the Final Four. From the 214, they got effed over with that number 8 seed.
They did.
I agree with you about that.
They're opening with Creighton, right? That's a tough matchup.
And then you jump right into, obviously, having to play, I'm assuming, a number 1 seed if you make it to the second round.
But they're basically playing a home game, right? Isn't that in Lexington?
Is it?
I think so. I think it kind of worked out as a home game for them.
Okay. So are you calling for the upset right there? Want to make it happen?
Maybe.
Oh, it's at Rupp Arena. You're right. Fantastic.
There it is.
From the 469, Auburn is going to win the men's tournament, and TCU is going to win the women's tournament. You've got TCU fever. Have we all got TCU fever? Great seed for TCU going in to the women's tournament. Are you excited about that?
I am. I think that the women's tournament's been ramping up the last couple of years. You still have some really big stars like Juju Watkins, and then, of course, with Haley Von Lith and TCU.
Yep.
So South Carolina, probably going to be very, very difficult to beat again. But I do think TCU getting the highest seed in program history, we're definitely pulling for the Frogs. And Texas is really good.
Now, I saw somebody text this in, and watching this was really fun. The 972. I watched Selection Sunday, and this must be mentioned. The absurdity of the North Carolina AD being on the committee is preposterous. And then trying to explain some BS excuse. All right, so let's go to cut number 14. This is Bubba Cunningham. But my favorite part was right before this, and I think it was Seth who said, "Now, I know all of the precautions that you go through, but why don't you tell everybody what they were?" It felt very much when somebody's like, "Hey, do you like quantum physics?" "Yeah, it's really complicated and neat. What do you think about quantum physics?" Like, as long as you didn't have a follow-up question, I'll give you that answer. And so Seth was like, "Nah, I know all the things, but Bubba, why don't you go ahead and tell us?" So this is the AD of North Carolina telling us how he totally, definitely, probably was not in the room for that.
Well, thanks, Seth. And obviously, I'm going to defer that to Keith. But, you know, all the policies and procedures were followed. And Keith can address exactly how North Carolina was discussed, because I was not in the room for any of that.
Not in the room for any of it. Well, Chuck, do you believe that he was not in the room for any of it? And what do they have, like a security guard monitoring that? He's like, "Hey, Bubba, gotta go."
I don't really believe it. And I think that the part that made it less believable is when they're like, "Thank you so much for the question. I really appreciate you giving us the platform to answer this great question, Seth. Thank you so much." Like, guys, it was just like a predetermined answer that we're getting already. And then it all ends up being because, hey, in that American conference, thank goodness that Memphis won and UAB lost.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for that and UAB wins, they get the automatic bid. We're putting Memphis in and North Carolina, sorry, you're not in anymore.
You're right. And this is so true. This is the time of year people like act like they know the teams and the players when they just heard someone on TV talk about it. That is one thing that
that's true.
Sometimes annoys me because I always lose to those people who are like, "Oh, I like this team. They're fun." And I was like, "What does that mean? They're fun?"
Yeah.
Didn't watch college basketball all year. Inevitably lose to that person. And it is disappointing. So I'll give you my bracket. Just know that it's probably going to lose and it's probably going to have Duke and Florida in the finals. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up, I accept.
Duke's got a great chance.
Fair. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Who is the second best player in all of baseball? The confusing but interesting question next on The Fan.
Swing and a high fly ball, deep right center. Their center fielder's back. He's looking up and that ball's out of here. And opposite field, three-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. And let's start with this.
Buckets.
You probably could have guessed.
Hoopah!
Buckets. That is the sweet, sweet voice of Zach Wolchuk, who has some shocking opinions about going back in time in the break. Oh, wait, that was me.
I didn't disagree with you.
MLB.com had more than 100 people participate in this question. Who is the best? I don't know what happened there. Is the best player in the game? It probably won't surprise you to know that the answer was Shohei Ohtani. And as one third baseman
Shohei
said,
Ohtani.
It's kind of obvious. So yeah, what that I one's wanted an easy to know, who do you guys think is the second best player in all of baseball?
Ellie De La Cruz.
Ellie De La Cruz did not make the top five.
What?
Therefore, I'm embarrassed for you. Alec.
I knew he didn't.
It is your opportunity to make the show less embarrassing by giving another answer.
That's all the weight to carry, Kevin. You know, my heart wants to say Jake Berger because he's just the best ever. But no, I'm going to go with Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, number three.
Number three.
On the list.
Number three.
Shohei is one. Aaron Judge is three. Who else do you think is in the players' top five? Not the stuffy media people, but the players.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts, who, by the way, we could talk with Buster Olney about this a little bit more in about 30 minutes. Did you see he's going to miss the Tokyo series?
He's
lost like 15 pounds. because of his illness.
I didn't know that he'd lost 15 pounds. Yeah. I did see that he was going to miss it due to illness. That's not good.
That is a little scary. Mookie Betts, number four on the list. So you guys, you're redeeming yourself, Woolchuck.
Okay.
You've got number one, number three, number four. I'm hoping that you can take some hints from the audio we played to come back and see if you can figure out number two on the list.
It's not Joey Gallo.
Weren't listening.
Is it Colleyville Heritage's own Bobby Witt Jr.?
Bobby Witt Jr. is second. One National League outfielder said, I mean, it's obviously Shohei, but I can see a case for Bobby Witt Jr. He's only 24 years old. The players have voted him the second best player in baseball. That is not even close to what I thought was the most surprising thing on this list, though. Shohei's one. Mm-hmm. Feel good about that. Bobby Witt Jr.'s two. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Aaron Judge, three. Oh, why the hell not? Mookie Betts, four. For sure. Number five on the list, Corey Seager.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
I'm surprised Paul Skenes didn't get up there.
Yeah, and then you'll hear this quote and wonder if all of these people were qualified to answer this question. One NL first baseman said about Corey Seager, he's a great defender.
Oh.
When the ball's hit at him, he makes a play. He takes a great at bat. I definitely agree with a great at bat apart. I don't know how many people would put Corey Seager in the great defender category. And also, it felt like he undercut him when he goes, when the ball's hit at him, he makes a play.
If it's hit directly at him.
Does that
him.
Make you a great defender? No. If, like, I hit the ball right to you and you're like, I got it.
I think that would be called maybe a routine play in baseball terms. He's one of the best, I think, three hitters in Major League Baseball. There's no question about it.
Okay.
And the clutch factor. You also have two World Series MVPs with two different teams. Like, the resume, I think, certainly advocates for Corey Seager being placed into the top 10. I'm actually thrilled that he's number five because I think he kind of usually gets slighted on these lists.
I thought he might have been lower just because this last year, obviously a rougher year. If this came after 2023, I would literally not be shocked whatsoever that he was in the top five. Others receiving votes. Now, remember, you said Ellie De La Cruz, so if he's not in this, this is double embarrassing for you.
Well, he's super exciting. I mean, do these players know what they're talking
question
about?
Question wasn't the most exciting player. It was the best player. Gosh. Others receiving votes, Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto, Jose Ramirez, Mike Trout, Francisco Lindor, Freddie Freeman, Jarrett Duran, and Garrett Crochet.
Garrett Crochet?
Yeah. Not just a fun hobby. A good baseball player.
Come
as well.
On. It's in the arts and crafts time, boys. Okay. This is who's actually damn good at baseball.
You don't think Garrett Crochet is damn
good
at baseball?
No, Crochet's pretty good, but I think there's a lot of pitchers I would put ahead of Garrett Crochet, would you not?
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Is he the best pitcher on his own team, or is Max Fried going to be better than him?
And Paul Skenes didn't get any votes in that either.
It's weird.
Which is a little bit odd. By the way, the Pirates did announce Paul Skenes as their opening day starter. That feels like the easiest decision that they've had to make in the offseason.
What would you not be willing to trade for Paul Skenes right now? Like, if the Pirates want to just get ahead of this because he's not going to re-sign there. They say, you know what? We're opening Paul Skenes up for bidding.
Okay, I'm only joking when I say this, but I do want to talk about how much of a fever I've caught for this player, Alejandro Ozuna. He's my only untouchable right now.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. You could, but
it's
by the way.
It's kind of like me saying Derek Lively's untouchable because I love Derek Lively.
Yes. So, by the way, Ozuna, probably going to still go back to the minors, but his on-base percentage in spring, .529. His on-base percentage, that's seven in all of Major League Baseball. And Bruce Bochy said he doesn't stop impressing you. I was glad he got up there in that moment. He got up with the ninth inning, helped them with the comeback. And he's a ball player. This guy does everything so well on both sides. So I love me some Ozuna right now. I think he's been the unbelievable breakout star of spring training. To your actual question about Paul Skenes, I don't think... Is it foolish if I say only Wyatt Langford? Do you think it should be no restrictions if for some reason Paul Skenes was going
to
get traded?
No, I think you have to. I mean, I was kind of thinking, could you start a package with like Jack Leiter and Evan Carter and build around that?
Yeah, maybe. I'm curious the value that Evan Carter
I think he's
has
lost
right
a lot
now.
Of value. Maybe yeah. that's why I'm trying to hope Pittsburgh yeah. is not realizing yeah, what's yeah. going on with him.
I think that's fair. And then something that's got into my head, because it's not just Mike, it's Jared. We've heard other people say this. Not that they said it definitively, but the school of thought is there's two kinds of pitchers. Those who have had Tommy John and those who have not had Tommy John yet. Especially when you sure. throw that hard. So yeah. I think that keeps getting into the back of my head where, like, you're going to have to probably at some point count out Paul Skeens for like a year and a half. And I can't get around that.
No, that's very fair. Sorry, I was eating a burp.
That's okay. Let's go from that. Is you've made a couple of allusions to it. If you missed the news, Joey Gallo was released by the White Sox. And he said he's going to reinvent himself as a pitcher. It was kind of confusing because he tweeted out, it's been fun outfield. And I think people thought he was retiring. And then yeah. he had to follow it up and go, just to be clear, I will be pitching.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded.
Oh, wow.
You Thank and me you. Both, Poach. I can't believe it. But I guess, and it's sad because like Joey Gallo was always one of our favorites when sure. he was here. Sure. And honestly, was a pretty darn good player for the Rangers, at least batter. But, man, have you hit rock bottom once you get released by arguably the worst team in Major League Baseball?
And last year, the worst team maybe in the history of Major League Baseball.
And supposedly he requested his release, and they granted it. So it wasn't like, oh, you just stink, we're getting rid of you. But it's probably because he saw the writing on the wall. Sure. They were getting rid of him.
Sure.
So now you have to reinvent yourself because you don't believe that anybody else is going to give you serious consideration as a pitcher. So, I mean, as Jared was talking about with Sean, RJ, and Bobby, like, is he going to have to go back to single A? Is he going to be with, like, the Downey's Wood Ducks or something now? And you're going to have to figure out a way to just, again, pitch yourself up the ranks of Major League Baseball. He's going to be, you know, living in a dorm room with four other dudes and eating McDonald's and riding buses all over
How
the place.
How much do you want to chase that dream, I guess? But, you know, the last time he pitched was high school. We have to go back to Bishop Gorman High School, where he made 21 pitching appearances and had a 2.62 ERA per Max Preps. So that's like how far back you had to go to find like an element of that. He has also batted below 200 every year since 2019. It is a shocking fall.
It is. I mean, ever since that trade, it's just been downhill. And I thought maybe it was just the New York market. Just not a fit for him. But, I mean, Washington didn't work out. Clearly, Chicago hasn't worked out. It's sad to see. But I do wonder, if he makes this, if he ends up being a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, do we revisit the Travis Hunter Shohei Ohtani debate? Does this now make Travis Hunter's case that this is way harder a little bit more relevant?
Actually, I really do think it would. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend, and was it still the Cowboys? Next on The Fan.